Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way on this last Sunday of January 2019. It don't seem possible. We just started this month of January. And I don't know about you, but this last week has been a kind of a very difficult week for most of us, but I'm glad you joined me this morning. You tuned me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others of you tuned me in, some of you tuned me in, I should say, by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. Others has tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of Internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock, and I welcome you. Those of you just tuned me in by the way of my website is pastorkenharger.com. And when you get onto my website, you see the page that I just changed it a little bit. It says media storage for current broadcast. And then I got a storage place for past broadcast. So you can tune it in that way. Some of you may be still tuning in to Sermon Cloud. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But if it doesn't, come on over to PastorKenHarger.com to media storage. And there you'll find a message that I've preached in this morning. And then you see some others that are just waiting to be listened to. However you tuned me in this morning, I'm just so glad to have you sharing with me. I'm over here to the lighthouse, and it's kind of a cool evening, but the steps were a little slippery, so I had to really be careful. But there's a big ice cube, of course, in the front yard, and I can't see it now because it's nighttime. I'm over here about 7:30, quarter to 8, putting the broadcast together. I need to say thank you to those that helped with the financial costs, so to Marie Rivard and memory and honor of her husband, Fran, and she lives in Dayton, Tennessee. And then to Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, from Greenville, Michigan. We appreciate her so much as well, her support. Gloria Spencer, she lives in Orleans, Michigan, and she's doing in honor of her husband and in memory of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from Orleans, Michigan. And then Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, and Bill and Judy Hammond family from the Belding area. I thank each and every one of you for your support. Need to say thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for selecting our music for today for our broadcast time. And she's going to be working on it. I'll be working on it. We're hoping to leave for Florida sometime next week. And then I'll be working on the broadcast for all summer. I just want to give you an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church at the Shiloh campus. It begins Saturday night, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. Contemporary services at 10:45, and in our Greenville campus, the old Lutheran Church on M91 North up by the new McDonald's, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Got a special celebration going on this afternoon at Shiloh Community Church. My wife is turning 80 tomorrow. We're celebrating Sunday, and then her birthday is Monday, and then we're hoping to leave for Florida. But I give you an invitation to attend her birthday party. She didn't really want one. I said, we got to celebrate you. We got to celebrate all the work that you've done and how many of these years we've been married 61 years, working on 62. And all those years she stood behind me as a faithful wife doing all the encouragement and all the other things that have been necessary to keep us both going together as a team for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I count it a privilege to help her celebrate her birthday, and I give you an invitation to come and join us as well. Message for this morning. Let's get down to the business at hand. What do you say? Message for this morning. I want to talk about a visitation from God to introduce us to faith. God knows that we need an introduction to faith. It's not a natural thing just to have faith. And God's going to give us a visitation. I like the idea of God visiting with us. You know, I've always loved people, and I've always loved being a part of being able to visit with people. It isn't an interesting the different things we can do. I was very shy when I was a kid and not very quick to shake somebody's hand or something, but Now, I got to tell you, through the years, I just love visiting with people. I love meeting somebody brand new for the first time. And the introduction of what we're going to talk about this morning is an introduction to faith. You know what, folks? We need to connect this visitation with God to the spoken word. That's how God makes himself known to us. And we'll take a look at that through the first part of the message. And in these last days, he tells us that he has spoken to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And we'll address that as well. You see, God wants to connect with you. God's always wanted to connect with people. He wanted to in the past, and he still wants to today. He wants you to connect with him and him to connect with you. Well, before we get started preaching that, we better listen to a song and kind of prepare our hearts and minds for the service this morning. And this song is talking about God's made a change in me. You know, when the Lord Jesus came into this world and when he started his ministry, he had people that he brought into the ministry with him. They were called the disciples. He chose 12 men. And then there was other disciples as well, but he was connecting with them. And the purpose of that was that he could bring about a change in their life. And you know, that's something that we find, whether it's in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, we find that when God connected with people, it made a difference in their life. It changed their life. So this song is going to tell us about some people of Bible days that a change was definitely made in their life as a result of them coming to an understanding of who God is and what God came to do. Okay, here we go. It's time to wake up now and listen to the word of the Lord.
When Paul met the Lord on Damascus Road, he never was the same again. When Peter met the Lord, he left his boat and started fishing for men. Now I may not be Peter or Paul, but one thing I can truly say, when I met the Lord and made him my choice, he definitely made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things passed away. Behold, everything's new.
He made a change.
He made a change in the life that I'm living.
He made a
change. Born again, set free, finally forgiven. If he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you.
Shaking their heads, cause they never thought they'd see the day when a sinner like me would praise the Lord or bow my head to pray. I'm not what I used to be. You see, my life has been rearranged. Well, it's nothing that I've done, but I have found someone who definitely made a change.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that
change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things passed away. Behold, everything's new.
He made a change.
He made a change in the life that I'm living.
He made
I'm
a
born again, set free, finally forgiven. If he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you. Walking.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things passed away. Behold, everything's new.
He made a change.
He made a change in the life that I'm living.
He made a
I'm
change.
Born again, set free, finally forgiven. If he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you.
Yeah, he made a change.
He made a change.
Change in me,
he can make a change in you.
change in you.
Well, he can make a change in me, that's what songwriter is saying. He can make a change in you. And that's just good news to know. And you know what? God does it from the inside out. I've always loved that truth. God makes the change in our life from the inside out. He begins to work within us. And that causes him to have the way to bring about some things in our life that's going to count. Not only for time, but for eternity. Well, this morning, once again, I'd love to remember you, the listening audience, you who I'm sharing this message with, and I enjoy my listening audience. I appreciate the listening audience. I appreciate the station carrying this message to you this morning, and I just want to ask the Lord's special blessing to be upon those of you that's tuned me in this morning. So, dear Father, as we come to you this morning, I come once again in behalf of the listening audience. Those that turned on their radio, those that are listening wherever they might be. Some may be driving in their car headed to their church that they attend this morning. Others may be in a hospital. Some may be in a nursing home. Some may be in the privacy of their own home this morning. Maybe they're having breakfast. Whatever it is, wherever they are, as they listen in this morning, Father, I want to pray for them. But, Father, more than that, I want to pray for their families. And whatever it is that they're experiencing in this, in their life right at this moment. This week's been a very busy week, Father, with me doing funerals. So I think I want to begin there this morning, Father. I want to pray for those that's just recently lost a loved one, that you would be their source of comfort. You call yourself, Father, the God of all comfort, who comforts everybody in whatever trouble they may find themselves in or whatever grief they may find themselves in. Father, I want to pray for those that need some comfort this morning, that you would reach out and minister to them in a very special way. Dear Father, this morning, with my wife turning 80 this weekend, I want to pray for the older ones of the congregation, the radio listening audience. I want to pray for those older ones. Maybe they're in the nursing home. Maybe they're in the privacy of their own home, but they haven't been able to get to church for some time, and so they're listening by the way of the radio. I ask, oh Father, your special hand of blessing to be upon the older ones this morning. Whatever they have in a need in their hearts and in their lives, I pray that you would just bless them, that they might sense your presence. I thank you so much, Father, that you promised you would never leave us, you would never forsake us, but you would be with us always, so we could confidently say, the Lord is my helper. So, Father, I'm asking you to be the helper of the older ones this morning. Then, Father, those that may be going through a financial time, maybe a family, something's happened in the family and things are a little bit disturbing this morning. Others may be going through some other kinds of crisis in their life. Maybe some other blessings that I'm not thinking of that's been a part of their life. They've just been a good week last week for them. I pray, Father, that you just bless the listening audience this morning. And I'll thank you for that. And I pray all those favors in that wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. You know, God wants to give us an invitation. An invitation of an induction to us, this thing called faith. Faith is an important part of our life. The Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible tells us that he that comes to God must believe that God is, and that he is the rewarder of them that would diligently seek him. That takes faith. So the message today, we're going to be talking about how God wants to connect with us. I love the way God shares about the way he connected with people in the past and how he wants to connect with people today. There's a portion of scripture in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, that I really like, because it kind of explains to us that God's been trying to make this connection with the human race ever since there's been a human race. You know that God came walking in the cool of the evening when Adam and Eve was created, after he had created them, and then they disobeyed him. But he came walking in the cool of the evening, and he wanted to have some fellowship with Adam and with Eve. And you know what? They hid themselves from him. They hid themselves from him because they had been disobedient. He only said, there's one tree that you can't eat of, and they ate of that tree. And so they hid themselves from God. And sometimes it seems that that's what happens in society today. Maybe there's something that you've done that you know was not pleasing to God, and so we hide ourselves from God. God comes seeking for him, though, and he said, Adam, Adam, where are you? And then he had a conversation with Adam. Well, that's what God wants to remind us in the book of Hebrews about the past. In the past, it says, God spoke to our ancestors, and at many different times and in many different ways, and he spoke through the prophets. There came a time when God was sending prophets, people to be spokesmen for him in the Old Testament days. And he says, and God spoke many ways and many different times through many different prophets. And if you look in the Old Testament, you see there's many different prophets. I'll just name a few so you can understand what I'm talking about. There's Isaiah. There's Jeremiah. There's Nehemiah. You know, there's prophets of such as Moses, and there's prophets such as the idea of the other ones that shared the Word of God in the Old Testament. There's many different people that were there at different times in the history of the human race to share the message of God. But now listen what he says. But in these last days, the most recent days, he has spoken to us through his Son. He's spoken to us through his Son. God has made his Son responsible for everything. His Son, Jesus, is the one whom made the universe. He was there at creation. His Son is a reflection of God's glory. His Son is the exact likeness of God the Father and God's being. He goes on to say, my Son, Jesus, that I'm speaking to, that I'm going to be speaking to you, he holds everything together through his powerful words. My Son's got some powerful words to share with you that's going to act like cement and tie things together for you. And then he goes on to say this, you know what? After he cleansed the people from their sins, when that one Jesus became obedient to death, even the death of the cross, when he cried out from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When he cried out in one of the hardest cries of his life, oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus was forsaken because him who knew no sin was willing to become sin for you and I. After he made the way for people to be forgiven and cleansed from their sin, it says, he received the highest position, the one right next to the Father in heaven. At this moment, the Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. The Son has become greater than the angels since he's been given a name that is superior to the angels. He's the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. And I love it in another portion of Scripture. It says there's no other name above his name, that every day, one of these days, every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I love the way God tells us about, in different ways, at different times, God spoke through the Old Testament, and that God used people to speak to people. The person that helped me the most of the Old Testament that I really like to think about when I think about people from the Old Testament is a man by the name of Joseph. I learned the need to forgive and how to forgive through him and what had happened in his life. I remember when I was about 19 years old reading that story of Joseph and how his brothers sold him into slavery and all the difficult things that happened to him. And then all of a sudden he was raised to a place of prominence. And all of a sudden his brothers and sisters who lived in another part of the world, outside of Egypt, they ran out of food and they come begging. And Joseph remembered them as he saw them. They didn't remember him. They never would have expected him to be there. Joseph put him through a few little tests and so on. But I love it that one day he said to them, "You know what, brothers? When you sold me into slavery, you meant it for evil. You meant it to get a little bit of money. But now notice, this is what changed my life, an idea of forgiveness. But God, Joseph said, meant it to good. That I'd be here at this time to do what I'm doing." You know what Joseph was saying to me? Joseph was saying, just like my life was messed up, your life has been messed up in your childhood days. But you know what? Don't dwell on that. Don't live there. Forgive, forgive. And then I knew that Jesus had said, "Father, forgive them," the very ones that had driven spikes in his hands. And so I forgive my stepdad that had treated me very cruelly. And you know what? It was because of that. It was because of Joseph's life. He lived many thousands of years ago before I was even born. And yet his life, because it was God's word, taught me what I needed for my life. I love that idea of Joseph. You know, let me give you just one more, because Moses was my second person in the Old Testament that I was glad was there. Because I remember when I was also around 19 years old, all of a sudden it was just thought that God wanted me to become a minister. And I don't know why that was coming into my mind, but I tried to brush it aside and I couldn't seem to be able to do it. So then finally one day I said to God, I'll do what you want me to, but I can't talk plain. I didn't stutter. You just couldn't understand what I say. I still have some words that don't come out clear and right. But you know something? God one day went to Moses, said, "Moses, I want you to be a leader of my people Israel. I want you to go talk to the Pharaoh of Egypt and have him release my people." Moses said, "I can't do that. I can't talk. I can't talk plain." You know, folks, that man Moses was one that spoke to my heart and life. God said to Moses, "Don't you worry about that. I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. They'll understand. I'll take care of that." You know, I was working in a factory, in Mitchell Bentley factory in Ionia at that time. And one of the guys that I worked with said over to Saranac there was some tent meetings going on and asked me if I wanted to go. He told me so much about the tent, I just wanted to go see the tent. But, you know, I went over to the tent meetings, and by the way, he wasn't able to go. He had to work on that Saturday. So I went all by myself. And that evening, the preacher got up, and he started to preach. He said, "Today, I'm going to talk about a man who God called to do something." And the man said to God, "I can't do it because I can't talk plain." And right then and there, I knew that excuse wasn't going to work for God. God used Moses in my life to teach me. That's what God does to the people of the Old Testament. I'm so glad that God shows us how he spoke in the past, that he can still speak to our hearts through those people who lived a long time ago. But I never will be able to understand the great love that God and his Son, the Lord Jesus, had in eternity past. When it was decided by God, even before the beginning of the world, that one day God would send his Son. And I love the way God describes it, and you may have heard this verse many times. but it's just the whole basis of what we're going to be understanding about this one Jesus, that God the Father so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. I'm so glad for verse 17. So God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world. No, but that he sent his Son into this world that the world might be saved. You know what God's telling us, folks, this morning? He's reminding us that what happens in your life, in my life, is the way God wants to introduce you to faith and the way God wants to introduce me to faith today is as we listen to this one Jesus. That's God's method of speaking to us today. It's God's method of speaking not only by the words that he taught, but by what he showed us, because he reminded us many, many times, if you see the Son, you see the Father. And he reminded us he come to do the Father's work. He come to say the things that God the Father wanted him to say. And most of all, that he come to pay the price for our sin. He took our place in death to give us life. I believe that's beautiful. I got another thing, a portion of scripture that I really like that I think is so special was one day in the life of the Lord Jesus after he'd called his disciples and so on, and he had them begin to teach them. And then one day there was some of the disciples, Peter, James, and John. They often were in a special place with him. And one day Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into a high mountain. He said, I want you to come and spend some time with me. And so these men had no idea what was going to happen. But they needed to learn some lessons. So he took Peter, James, and John, and they went up in this high mountain by themselves. And all of a sudden, he was transfigured before him. Now, the transfiguration that they're talking about is his face shined like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, all of a sudden, there were some of the prophets from the Old Testament time. Moses was there, and Elijah was there. And they appeared to Jesus, and they were talking with Jesus. And the disciples seen all of this. This had never happened before. It was a very special moment from God. It was a teaching moment for Jesus to speak to his disciples. Peter was quick to respond. So let's listen to what he says. Peter said in Matthew 17:4, then Peter answered and said, Jesus, Lord, it is so good for us to be here. If you wish, we'll make three tabernacles. We'll make one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And we'll just hang out here for a while is what he's saying. And behold, all of a sudden, there was a bright cloud overshadow them on top of that mountain. And then all of a sudden, there was a voice that came out of the heavens, a cloud, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now listen to this next thought, folks, because this includes you and I, not just the disciples. Hear him. Listen to what Jesus has to say. Hear him. Moses' time was for Moses' time. Elijah's time was for Elijah's time. This time is for you. This one Jesus, he's the one that I sent that's going to minister to you. He's going to minister until things are changed tremendously. And you know what? When the disciples heard that voice, they fell on their faces. And they were greatly afraid. Remember yesterday? Remember what I just shared a few moments ago, rather? God's way of speaking to us is through his Son. From here on, God's method of teaching would be through his Son, the Lord Jesus. These disciples had not learned that yet, and they were going to learn that. When that voice from heaven came and said, this is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased in him. You listen to what he has to say. And you know what? I can learn from Moses' day. I can learn from all the things that happened in the Old Testament. But you know what? In 2019, God is saying, dear people, listen to my son. Listen to my son. Hear what he has to say to you. And when the disciples heard it, as I mentioned, they fell down on their faces. And when they lifted up their eyes, you know what they found? Moses was gone. Elijah was gone. Jesus was the only one there. They saw Jesus only. I love that when they opened their eyes, those two were gone. They wasn't supposed to stay there for a long time. It wasn't meant that they was going to stay there and build a tabernacle for Moses and one for Elijah and one for Jesus. And I love what Jesus did at that moment. The scripture goes on in Matthew that tells us Jesus came over by them and he touched them. I think they had a group hug. I think Jesus just put his arms around those three men and they were hugging one another. And then Jesus said, don't be afraid. This experience is going to help you in your life. It was an introduction to faith. It was an introduction that if you want faith, you got to listen to God's delivery person. And it's not Moses now. Oh, God still uses Moses. God still uses the Old Testament. But God's talking to us today through his son, Jesus. And he wants us to listen to what Jesus has to say. Faith in God is we listen to Jesus' teaching. But also we need to learn of how Jesus interacted with people when he was here on planet Earth. And it's going to help you in the understanding how he did that. We need to listen to him. We need to watch Jesus. And we need to listen to Jesus. This message is part one of two messages. Next week, I'm going to share with you how we can watch Jesus and how he interacted with people. But right now, you know what he's saying? Listen to my son. My son is the one I've sent to you for you to be able to understand the message that I have for you. I want us to pause. We're going to listen to a song in a few moments. But you know, there's a beautiful thing that Jesus said there, was said about Jesus at that Mount of Transfiguration. When the disciples were all afraid, and when the voice had came from heaven, and the voice was gone, and Elijah was gone, and Moses was gone, and there was only Jesus there, Jesus came over and he touched them. You know, that's what makes the difference. If you let God's word touch your heart. I love what Jesus said many times, and it was talked about many other times in the scripture. Don't just be listening to God, but do his word. Don't just listen to the word, but do what the word is saying to do. That's what God wants us to do. To do what the word is telling us to do. I'll dwell on that in a little bit, but I just want us to think of the idea that he touched them. And we got another song I want us to listen to. And this song is simply saying that about Jesus when he touched me. And when you know what happened to me when I felt the call to be a minister, Jesus touched me through Moses. When I needed forgiveness, God touched me through Joseph. Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
And the ruin of my shattered broken life lay crumbled in pieces at my feet. But the gentle hands of Jesus picked the pieces up, and then he began a transformation in me. When he touched me, pieces fell in place. When he touched me, I was covered by his grace. All the chains that held me captive fell away. Had left me in a prison all my own, in shackles of guilt from all my past. But the touch of my Redeemer unlocked my prison door, and I stood completely free in him at last. When he touched me, all the pieces fell in place.
When he touched me, then that release was there, and he was set free, is what his songwriter is saying. You know, as we move on in the life of the Lord Jesus, after he had been crucified, buried, resurrected, and seen of mankind, and ascended up into heaven, and people begin believing in this one Jesus, and in so believing, they had the forgiveness of sin, and they had the hope of eternal life. But there was a religious man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. And you know, he didn't understand who Jesus was. He was just living according to the Jewish laws. And he thought this thing about Jesus was just something that needed to be destroyed. And so he found that he had to write, and he got to write from the religious leaders, who also didn't like the idea that this thing about Jesus was growing, that people who were believing in him. And I want you to listen to his story, what Paul said. Brothers and fathers, listen to me, he says. I make you in my defense to you. When Jews heard him speak in the Jewish language, they became very quiet. And Paul said, I'm a Jew. I was born in Tarsus, the country of Syria. I grew up in the city. I was a student of Gamaliel. He carefully taught me everything about the law and my ancestors. I was very serious about serving God, just as all you are very serious here today. I hurt the people who followed this one Jesus. Some of them were killed. I arrested men and women and put them in jail. The high priest and the whole council of orders, Jewish leaders, you all know what I did. I'm telling you the truth. The leaders gave me letters to Jerusalem to find any one of those people who believed in this one Jesus and to punish them and to bring them back to Jerusalem to be punished. Now we need to realize, Paul says, that's what I was doing with my life. But something happened. Something happened on my way to Damascus when I had these letters of authority. It was about noon, he says, when I came near Damascus, and suddenly a bright light shined from heaven, flashing all around me. I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you doing these things against me? I asked, who are you? Lord, the voice said, I'm Jesus from Nazareth. I'm the one you're trying to hurt by hurting my people that believe in me. The men that were with me didn't understand the voice, but they saw a light. And I said, what shall I do? And the Lord said, get up and go into Damascus. And there I'll tell you the things I have planned for you. And he got up and went into the city, but they had to lead him because he was blind. You see, this man didn't understand that what Jesus came to do, he came to introduce everybody to faith, not just the Jewish people, but to everybody to this faith in God and believing in him and what he was supposed to do. And there was a man in the city that God spoke to by the name of Ananias. And God said to him, I want you to go and put your hand on that man called Saul. I'm going to use him as a servant of mine. He's going to become a messenger that's going to take the message to the Gentile people. That would include you and I, folks. He's going to deliver the message that I've given that I want it to be for all people. And one day the Jewish people arrested Paul, even though he's one of them. And they put him in prison. And then he came before the king that was there. And he said to the king, I'm here now in prison. I'm standing before you because of the fact that I was preaching now about Jesus. And old King Agrippa, he says, you know what? Only reason I'm doing that was I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. When the Lord struck me down on the road to Damascus, he got my attention. And he wanted me to know that he wanted to use my life to help some other people to understand who God is. That's a thought I want you to get from this thought. God used Saul, and God used Ananias. And God wants to use you and I. He wants us to be people that will be used of him. Saul is going to now talking to a king. And one time when he's talking to the king said to him, boy, the way you talk, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. And I love what Apostle Paul said to him. I wish he wasn't almost. I wish he was altogether persuaded to be a Christian. But think about it, folks. God has chosen you to make you a blessing to other people. That'll never happen until you get this touch. This touch from God, where God wants you to know that he really loves you, and where God wants you to know that he really cares for you. So this visitation from God to introduce us to faith, what we've been looking at in this message so far is the many different ways God has spoken to people in the past, in the Old Testament. And now we've been looking at how Jesus touched people's lives when he was here. And now that his death and burial and resurrection is over, he's now going to make sure the message goes to both Jew and Gentile. And we need to know that that's what God wants to see happen today. I'm sharing this broadcast with you this morning because that's what God did in my heart, in my life. And I wanted other people to know as well that this is what God wants to do for them. And this is what he's capable of doing for them as an individual. So I want to close this service today with a portion of scripture where Jesus is the one that is talking. Now remember, I told you we'll learn and be introduced to faith by the words that Jesus teaches. As we listen to his words, as we let him describe to us what he came to do, and then we can understand it by his actions, how he reacted with people. And then as we learn that, we see how he's going to react with us. One of my favorite portions of scripture to do that is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. Jesus one day came to the Father when the disciples were there and other people as well. And this is how he started out. He said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I praise you because you have hidden these things from the people who seem to be wise and smart. But you have shown these things to those who are like little children." God is going to tell us, if we want to have this message of God touch our hearts, and we want to be introduced to faith, we got to get beyond our own smarts. He said, Jesus said to Father, "I thank you that you show them even to little children, you're able to teach these things to." Then he goes on and tells us about his relationship with the Father. "Yes, Father, this is what you really wanted. My Father has given me all things. No one knows the Son, only the Father knows the Son. And no one knows the Father, only the Son knows the Father. And the only people that will know about the Father are those whom the Son helps to understand." That's you and I. He wants us to understand that his purpose on planet Earth was to introduce you and I to faith. Faith in the Father, faith in what the Father does, faith in the Son, faith in what the Son accomplished for you. So now let me show you how he's going to go about this. Now he's going to make it personal to you and I. He's going to give you and I an invitation. And this is how he starts out the invitation. Jesus says, "Come to me." That's what he wants you to come to me, Jesus is saying. A person. Somebody who loves you. A person that paid that supreme price on that cross of Calvary to get you the forgiveness of sin. Jesus is saying, "Come to me." And here's who he says will come. All of you who are tired, and all of those who do the day that is carrying a heavy load, it's bigger than you are. Jesus says, "Come to me with your heavy load, and I'll give you rest. Accept my work that I've done for you, and learn of me." And then I love the way Jesus describes himself. He said, "I'm gentle. I'm humble in spirit." That's what God is saying. Come to me, I'm gentle, Jesus is saying. I'm humble spirit, and you know what? You will find rest for your souls. The work that I ask you to do for me is going to be easy. The load I'll give you to carry is not going to be heavy. You trade in your heavy load for what I'm going to give you to carry. It's going to be a whole lot lighter. And Jesus prays to the Father. And then he explains the strong connection between himself and the Father and the Father and him. And then he says that only ones who listen to what he has to say now, we got to hear Jesus. That's what God the Father said from heaven to the disciples. And that's what he's going to say to us as well. I think we need to realize that we need to come to that place where we understand what I've said for so many years. I've said that Jesus is only for those that know they need Jesus. We must come to that place in our life where we understand we can't make it on our own. I need help. I need somebody to help me carry this load. And Jesus is the one. So here's God's invitation to each of us to connect with him and how he wants to connect with us. When he says, come to me. Come to me. Bring all of your tiredness. Bring that heavy load you're carrying right along with you. And I will give you rest. I love it in one portion of Scripture. He's not only talking about rest for the body, but rest for the soul. He's saying, come unto me, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I promise you that you will find not only rest, but you will find that the load that I have you carry when I carry it with you is going to be much lighter than the load you're carrying right now. God wants us to know that this one Jesus is totally different than anybody else we've ever came in contact. We got a song that I want us to listen to, and this song is going to tell us the very same thing. This song is saying to us this morning as we listen to it, who is this man?
The most important moments of history were the few hours when Jesus was crucified at Golgotha. Looking at that one eventful day, the people of every age have drawn drastically opposing conclusions. Most see darkness. Some see the light. Most see death. Some see life. Most see sorrow. Some see hope. And just as those who saw it with their own eyes, most have questions. And yes, some have the answer.
Oh, what is this? What does this mean? This is the worst thing that I have ever seen. Who is this man? The one with nail-pierced hands, the one who speaks not. Who is this man? This is my friend. This is not the end. This is the moment the story will begin. This is forever. This will always be. This is the greatest day.
This is the King of Kings.